You're listening to You Don't Have to Be Crazy, the 10-minute payroll podcast from Payslip. This is part two of my conversation with John Lestock, where John shares his best ever career advice and also relives the trauma of a particularly bad payroll nightmare. Enjoy. What's the best piece of career advice you've ever been given? And secondly, have you had a mentor? Have you had a series of people that you've sort of looked to over the years as your career has developed and blossomed?
One of my previous jobs, it was a small company that did kind of their accounting, bookkeeping for. I worked with the controller, and he was a great mentor, very much like a dad. And it wasn't so much advice he told me, it was what he did through example. And what he demonstrated was, you will not have all the knowledge. You're not a walking encyclopedia of knowledge. That's okay. You have to learn to be resourceful. Where do you find that information? Where do you seek it out? So what he taught me was, just because you don't have formal training or knowledge doesn't mean you can't do it. You just need to be proactive and resourceful and seek it out. And he did that. And it kind of led to problem solving. Try to get the pieces of information. What are you trying to accomplish? What do you need? And then, you know, kind of let's follow that along to get to our final outcome. What are we hoping to achieve here? That served me so well. And it was even unrelated to payroll. It was an accounting function. But that served me so well in global payroll, because we don't have that formal training or knowledge. We had to seek it out. And it forces you to be resourceful.
Do you feel that sense of responsibility of giving back to the industry as well? Like, you've obviously gained so much from it, but are you conscious of that desire to put back into the industry?
Very conscious of it. It's difficult to manage that with other responsibilities, you know, work, school, and such, but I do it because it's not just formal training that's necessary or needed for career development. Networking, connecting with other professionals, whether it's you're doing it at a national conference, you know, or interacting with my professionals at a National Payroll Institute in Canada, or my benefits friends for employee benefits. The common thread is networking, because what we don't gain through formal classes or training, we learn through sharing with our fellow coworkers or fellow professionals. And giving back is part of it, but it's a symbiotic. You give to them what you gain from it in return. I'm teaching a session. I have to prepare, you know, slides. I have to prepare a presentation. So I have to learn it on my own before I can teach others. And then in return, as I interact with others in a conference, in a meeting, in a webinar, they're asking questions. They're presenting ideas and perspectives I never would have thought of. So I'm learning from that in return. And then networking, reaching out to my friends with questions. They reach out to me with questions. It's like having a virtual office worldwide. You can ask anybody a question. You can help you with, you know, with whatever issue you're dealing with. That networking is so critical. That hand in hand with your own career growth within your company, wherever you work, hand in hand with your formal training, they all kind of feed off of each other. It helps you, but it helps anyone else that you're working with. Training that next generation, I think the key is to try to just get those individuals on board, get them involved, bring them in, network with them. You know, just as someone that mentored me and I was able to learn from them, I need to do the same, you know, not just for myself, but for those others as well too. So it's kind of a continuum. It just never really, there's no order end. It just sort of keeps on going.
In payroll, how important is it to have that holistic understanding of the business as a whole? Because you could look at it and you could say, but payroll is payroll, right? It doesn't matter. It's the same whether you're selling nuts and bolts or whether you're selling services. But for you as a professional, what is the benefit of having a deeper understanding of the product line or the business strategy and that holistic picture?
It's critical in the sense that payroll does not operate in a vacuum. Other business decisions, other business strategies, as they take place, there's a ripple effect where it's going to impact payroll. So for example, if the company is strategizing, they're planning for growth in a particular market, in a particular country, that will impact us. For, you know, what started off with maybe 3 employees in a particular country has just blown up into 103, and they're anticipating it to be 503 a year from now. Those are the things that could happen if you're not in tune to your particular, the business in general. What are we building? Where are we growing? What are our opportunities? We could be blindsided by that. What do you mean we have 500 employees? Are all going to be onboarded next month? I got my great story for that one. Years ago, I worked at a company, did payroll outsourcing. And she, one of the leaders had come to my manager and she says, what do you guys know about Canadian payroll? And she said, well, nothing, just strictly do US. It was fabulous. We have an office in Toronto, Canadian payroll in 2 months. So I need you guys to be up to speed. My manager looked at me, she goes, we're going to class.
That's brilliant. When you look back, John, was there a moment in your career, or what was the first moment when you thought, I got this, like I'm really good at this?
You know, I'm not sure, only because I'm constantly learning new things, new concepts, new issues that crop up with the payrolls I currently work on. You know, I thought I had a handle on Austria payroll, and I got surprised by something that came up this year. Like, oh, okay. I mean, with enough experience, you do sort of reach a point, you feel like you got the hang of this. As the work becomes, I don't want to say routine, that sounds negative, but it becomes more predictable. Like, okay, we've got a rhythm happening here. We provide our information for new hires and leavers and salary changes. We provide that to our payroll provider. They perform, you know, they process the payroll, they give us the output, I review it. I've reviewed this enough with this particular country, I'm comfortable with what I'm looking at. I know what specific items to key in on. I can, you know, approve it, give it a final blessing, let it go. At that point, you feel like you kind of got the hang of it. But I try not to get too overconfident, because then you get blindsided by something new. Hey, did you know there was supposed to be a mandatory increase January 1st? No. Well, now you know.
So, John, one thing we do like to do on this show, which is we like to pick at old wounds. So I'm curious to know if you've ever had a payroll nightmare, a moment when you wish you could go back in time and fix the mess before it happened.
I have one. It sounds small, but it's big. And what it was I had turkey payroll about a couple of years ago, a year or so ago. This one employee constantly would not get paid. We sent the bank files to the payment center. They processed the payment files. This one employee, just the bank would not process his payment. Always screaming about not getting his monthly pay. I don't blame him. Couldn't figure out why. I'm looking at the file. I'm looking at the details. The account number is correct. The IBAN's correct. His name is correct. What's the problem? And it was this back and forth for a couple of months. Finally, it dawned on me. Look at his name again. And maybe this is me being the American. Well, it's spelled correctly. The alphabet's right there. It's all good. But I'm not thinking, wait a minute. I'm using English alphabet. I'm not using the alphabet they use in Turkey, the Turkish characters. He has specific characters in his name. Because that was not on the bank file, the bank could not match the bank account beneficiary. My mind, yeah, it looks perfectly fine. It's not, because it's different. That one small detail drove us mad for months. I mean, the person didn't get paid. Finally, the payment center was able to manually correct it. They're like, look, we're tired of fixing this. Could you just get this done right? I'm like, what do I tell the provider?
You know, I love that story, John, because I think it perfectly underlines the dissection between numbers and culture and people. Role is, it's not just about the numbers and the data. In that instance, you had to have a fuller understanding of the culture of Turkey, the alphabet. Like, it took all of those pieces falling into place to actually nail payroll for that country.
Absolutely. And I can tell you the number of payrolls where I receive a document from our local office. So can you give this to the provider? And I'll open it up and it's in Turkish, it's in Hebrew, it's in Arabic, it's in French or Dutch or German. And I speak none of those. I'm grabbing my phone like, Google Translate, do your thing. And I'm waving my phone over my computer screen. Looks like it's a tax question, pension. Okay, I think I can forward this on.
Yeah, I've worked out enough to know what it is that I don't know, basically.
Exactly. Got a question from Ireland. Oh, thank God, it's English. Okay. Yes.
This is it. These are the hidden things that no one tells you about when you're taking on a global portfolio.
All right. That's the end of part two of my conversation with John Lestock. Be sure to like, subscribe, and of course, tune in for part three.